Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Ball State University has about 150 military veterans enrolled as students. Many of them, including some who have served in combat, like to keep a low profile, preferring not to be singled out in class. But there is a student veterans organization which advocates for the veterans and their families. And in a rare bit of public outreach, they've started a toy drive for local families this month. You can leave unwrapped gifts and special drop boxes at the Student Center and Atrium. Hondo Tamez is a faculty advisor for the group. We wanted to ask about the toy drive and how the veterans are getting along at the school.
What is it that your group does?
The Student Veterans Organization was founded to be that sense of camaraderie that was missing when you left service. When you're in service, you know, you deploy, you get to know these people, they're your brothers, they're your sisters, they're your family. And when you leave, your world is turned upside down because you may be coming back to your real family, but they don't know the experiences that you've been through. So the Student Veterans Organization was founded to, one, give that camaraderie, that purpose, that family back to the student veterans here on campus. And now it's evolved to not only be that for the veteran themselves, but for the community, for the family of veterans, as well as, you know, the staff and faculty of Ball State. There's a lot of staff and faculty that are on campus that have worked with the military, that have been military. A lot of family members that work, that are, you know, their husband or wife was military before coming here. We've found that a lot of student veterans now, when they're coming back to school as being a non-traditional student already, because they're coming back at 25 years old versus 18 years old, they have a wife and kids or a husband and kids. So we hope to be there for them in that family situation, but not only now just to give them the camaraderie, but to show them the benefits that they are allowed. You know, the GI Bill, Wounded Warrior Program, several other key benefits that are out there for veterans, whether it be housing benefits, whether it's helping somebody find a house while they're here on campus. You know, they just moved to the area. You know, we try to find realtors or apartment complexes that do special things for veterans to give them a way out. There's so many times when a veteran comes out that they don't know what's available to them, whether it be unemployment, housing allowances, education benefits. That's when they start to have trouble. That's when you see them struggling because they don't know what's out there because they're used to everything being told to them and the direction is given to them. So when they're having to go out and search for these things online or search for them here locally, when a lot of it's not publicized, it tends to be a hard time and a struggle for the veteran. So we want to be there to assist with that so we can, you know, be there for whatever they need.
Collecting toys for kids around Christmas just feels like a natural for veterans.
I think because it's so natural to us because on deployment, a lot of us are deployed over Christmas. So getting a gift, none that you may have not asked for, you know, just receiving that gift always brought a different view of your deployment. You know, because, oh, you have somebody out there that cares, even if they don't know you, that cares enough about you to send you a gift. So I think that for us collecting these toys, you know, we don't know the kids. We may see them, but we don't know that they're the ones we're helping. It gives a chance for us as a community to give back to them when we have been helped. I know my first deployment was over Christmas. My anniversary is at that time, so I missed my anniversary and Christmas. And then Valentine's Day for the next one, and so on and so forth. My kids were young, so it's that time to give back when we were given.
Do you mind talking about that just a little bit? Your first deployment, and how old were you, and what were you doing?
My first deployment was, 2005, October of 2005. So I was 20 years old. I just had our second child. He was 2 months old. See, October. So yeah, he was 2 months old when I deployed. I left October. We were on submarines. We we'd go out for 90 days. Our whole mission is strategic deterrence, which was that our enemies and our allies know that at any given time there's a submarine in the area that has nuclear missiles in case of World War III. So we didn't do anything other than missions like that. So I left October of 2005 and finally came home after a back-to-back deployment of April of 2006. And so I missed, you know, half of my two-month-old, from two-month-old to 8 months old, you know, growing up. It was pretty difficult. Our oldest son was, you know, 6 or 7, 8 years old in that time frame. So he was having troubles in school, dealing with deployment for the first time. It was a big change for us. One of the hardest things was coming home in that April and trying to hold my young son at that time, my 8-month-old, and not letting him, he wouldn't let me hold him and just cried because he didn't know who I was. So that was always difficult. So missing the holidays and missing that time out was a tough change.
So you were out back-to-back deployments meant that you were on the boat for 6 months, mm-hmm. and just gone. And,
yep.
And is there email contact or anything at all?
We have email, but it's sporadic. I could write a message daily, but it may not get shipped off for a week. My wife could write messages daily, and she would send it right away, but we only communicate with the satellite, you know, every so often. And so, and the freshest things that were just sent are in the satellite queue. So we could have fresh ones right away, but there are still 2-week-old ones that we haven't received yet. So I could get hit and miss. And then if there was a kind of emergency at home, you wouldn't be given an email about that. The emails are read. They are checked for different dates for emergencies. Any kind of mentionings other than of something that would cause stress to the sailor while being deployed.
So you served on board a submarine, a frigate, and a carrier,
yep.
I think, right?
Yes, the two submarines were the USS Maryland and the USS Wyoming out of Kings Bay, Georgia. The frigate was the USS Stephen W. Groves out of Mayport, Florida. And then I finished my career on board the USS Enterprise, the namesake carrier of the Navy that was just decommissioned 2 years ago.
Hondo Tomez, faculty advisor to the Student Veterans Organization at Ball State. That group is collecting toys for needy families this month. The holiday gift drive is just about over, but if you have something, drop boxes were set up at the Student Center in the atrium. If you need to reach them, you can find Tomez in the school directory or drop me a note and I'll put you in touch.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
We're talking today about the chance to do a good deed. The Student Veterans Organization at Ball State is doing a holiday gift drive for needy children. They put drop boxes at the Student Center and at the Atrium Food Court on campus. There are some very generous people in the community, and anyone wanting to support that effort with larger gifts can contact Hondo Tomez, a former Navy weapons specialist who is faculty advisor for the group. We thought this would be a good time to check in to see how the vets are doing. A 2011 survey by the Pew Research Center found that 44% of veterans who served after 9/11 indicated they had difficulty transitioning from military to civilian life. We've heard of issues surrounding post-traumatic stress disorder. Hondo Tomez says that term has tended to stick with some veterans.
A lot of veterans, you know, may have served in combat situations and they may have come home perfectly fine. And so they're still stigmatized by PTSD because when you find out that they're a veteran, oh, well, how many people did you kill and what has it done to you is a question that's asked quite often. Well, that's not something anybody wants to answer. The university is doing a great job in providing counseling services if needed. A lot of professors, once they find out that they do have a veteran in class, I think will tend to use that veteran as leadership in the class, as a guidance point, which some veterans like, some don't. Some veterans will not let you know that they're a veteran because They don't want special treatment. They don't want to be stigmatized. They don't want anything like that. So I think the university is doing quite well. There are things that probably could be done more, but that's with anything.
I'm guessing that a bigger issue would come into play with regard to financial aid. And
one of the hardest things is navigating the financial aid, you know, system for any student, let alone veterans, because they qualify for the GI Bill, which is the education benefits from the government, as well as, you know, you can qualify for Pell Grants and other grants, but navigating those to get them all working together and what you're able to use for books, what you're able to use for tuition, can get muddled. And so the Office of Financial Aid has done a very good job working with the Veterans Affairs Department to hopefully make that easier for the veteran. But that's one of the reasons why we're here as the Student Veterans Organization, is we've all been through the system. I've even worked in the system for the Veterans Affairs Department with financial aid. And so I try to stay on top of it to help all the veterans out. But you know, they can get lost in the system like anybody else. The hardest thing is housing, because the financial aid, the GI Bill doesn't cover the housing. They can get a housing stipend for that, but it has to be paid directly to the university if they live on housing there, or if they live out in the community, it goes to you as well. So providing for housing and the benefits are very troublesome at times, but I think it's where most people have the issues, for veterans have the issues, is with navigating the system.
What did you come out after 5 years with that you think that you didn't have when you went in?
I think the biggest thing I came out with was a sense of direction. Like I married right out of high school. Yeah, I graduated high school in 2003, so at the height of shock and awe. We were hitting Fallujah, we're hitting Iraq, you know, that's when war started, was 2003. I was Air Force ROTC in high school, and I always wanted to be in the military of some sort through Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts too growing up. I knew I wanted to go. I felt that urge to go, and my wife was like, okay, you can go to these branches because you have a higher chance of surviving war than Marines or Army. And so we decided to go to the Navy. And I've always been interested in computers and technology. So when I went to submarines, I was a radio operator and computer technician on board submarines. And so that's where I found the passion that I liked electronics. But then I also, when I left that, you know, to go onto the frigate and the aircraft carrier, was a weapons instructor. So I found that at the same time I can have a nerdy love of technology, but still enjoy and be very good at instruction as being a weapons instructor. Not only did I enjoy shooting, but I enjoyed the teaching aspect of shooting. And so becoming a trainer of some sort, when I got out, I went to Ivy Tech for a year before coming to Ball State. And found that, you know, I did want to do a computer field, but that I enjoyed as well teaching and that direction and that guidance. So I think what I got the most out of it was the computer training to lead me to want to have a passion in technology, but then the guidance and the direction that, hey, I think I want to teach and do more with what I do. So, and that's why I went to get my master's, because you can't teach at a university level without a master's. And so I am on my third semester of teaching undergrad classes of voice over internet protocol in the applied technology area here on campus. And so I think it's given me that direction to not only want to give back to the community to teach, but to still go out and want to serve my nation, serve my community. What I do for campus, I'm the advisor for the Student Veterans Organization. It's not a paid job. It's a passion that I have on top of my normal day-to-day job.
Many veterans just want to get down the road. They're maybe not interested in going to events and activities, and they may be reluctant to ask for help.
The only thing we can do is just not spam everyone's email, but try to get in contact with as many veterans as we can. Because, yes, well, there are so many people that do not, so many veterans on campus that do not want any part of it. And I think a lot of that has to do with the stigma of the vets coming out today have the same hardships of those that came out of Vietnam. You know, the community, the nation, there are a lot of supporters of veterans, but there are a lot that cannot fathom why our government has been in war.
Hondo Tamez, faculty advisor for the Student Veterans Organization at Ball State. In the Navy, he served aboard two submarines, a frigate, and the aircraft carrier Enterprise. He picked up a master's degree at Ball State. He teaches and works in IT there now. The Student Veterans Organization has a toy drive this month for needy families. They have set up drop boxes at the Student Center in the Atrium Food Court. People with larger donations should contact Tamez directly. If you have trouble doing that, drop me a note.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
The jobs picture for veterans has improved somewhat in the last year. Bloomberg News reports that the unemployment rate for veterans who served after 9/11 has fallen substantially to below the national average as of October. But veterans, including those enrolled in colleges and universities, still face challenges. We talked with Hondo Tamez, faculty advisor for the Ball State Student Veterans Organization. Precise numbers are difficult to get, but he estimates about 150 students are military veterans. His group tries to help them complete their degrees.
The hardest thing now is medical benefits from the VA. There is the 2 million backlog that they say for the VA on. It's a over a year time frame before the, you know, when they file a claim saying, hey, I have these issues from war, that they're not even seen in over a year by the VA doctor to see, yes, you do have this, you know, you don't have that, to get help. And so that's, you know, a lot of people get frustrated with that. When I got out, I happened to be in a time a lot of veterans weren't getting out at that time. So I didn't have a year and a half long wait. But I do have a year and a half long wait now for issues that I've had come up in the last year from that have stemmed from deployment.
Let me see if I understand that right. A year and a half wait to...
to even be seen, like from when you file your veteran benefits for medical to you see a doctor, just to even see if you have an issue and not to be telling you what... how to fix it or how they're going to fix it, just to be seen if you qualify for medical benefits or if it'll be rated by the VA for disability.
Is that getting any better? Is it getting any worse? Do you have any sense?
They say it's getting better. I know, you know, they're overworked, undermanned, the VA, you know, there's high demand, but there's a lot of people getting out that are having tremendous issues with medical.
So college campuses are typically pretty liberal. What's it like for soldiers who maybe come from a more conservative bent to be on campus? Is that something that comes up very much as you're talking with other veterans?
It is. One of the biggest things for veterans is, especially with Ball State, you know, Indiana State says, yes, you can conceal weapon carry anywhere you want for the most part. And the university is a legal place that you are technically allowed to conceal carry, except for the university has laws on it or rules on it, you know, forbidding it. You know, you're caught, you expelled, and you know, trespassed, and so that was one of the biggest things, you know, for veterans. Hey, you know, they are used to carrying a weapon to protect themselves in a war zone. And I'm not saying college campus is a war zone, but if you look at the way the world is working right now, it can be a war zone. You know, you look at other universities, you know, I was stationed in Virginia when the Virginia Tech massacre, you know, happened. So, you know, it happens, as unfortunate. I think that's one of the biggest views veterans have versus, you know, liberal arts students or liberal individuals anyway, is the need to protect themselves. And I can tell you with not just PTSD, but our training and being very vigilant in our surroundings, one of the hardest things for student veterans is going into a crowded area, whether it's the atrium, student center, History 150 was one of the first classes I took here, which I thought was a great class because I loved history. The teacher was perfect. It was, you know, 150, 200 students. Algebra was that way when you got here. So that is a very tough thing for a veteran to go into, because I know I had trouble with it, is your hypervigilance is to, okay, who's around me, what's around me, where are the exits, you know, what am I going to have to do to save myself or other people if something happens in this large classroom. A lot of times you'll see veterans against the back wall. You'll see them up out of a ways or near the exit, because from their training and what they've done in life is to get out and to assess the situation and then decide from there. And that's one of the harder things about coming back to campus.
How's the country changed? You joined in 2004. Mm-hmm. We're now 11 years down the road. Is there a different attitude towards service and veterans today than there was then?
Yeah, I think, you know, in 2004 when I joined, you know, we were still off of the 9/11 hype. The community was rallied behind the troops, you know, hey, bomb them every day, you know, do what you have to do, we got to strike back. And to where we are now, where the community, a lot of the community, you know, is saying, you know, you look at the ISIS attacks that we just had, they're saying, hey, we need to be over there bombing them, we need to bomb them now, we need to take care of it now. As I do feel like there are protocols and measures that we need to enforce and step up, yes. But do I think we need to be bombing them all now? I don't think so. I think the community is there for the veteran. You know, I think there is still a lot of strong support for veterans, and they continue to be there. But I think the whole attitude of why we are going to war has changed from when we went to war in 2003, 2004 was, hey, we were attacked. You know, now the attitude is we're going to war because of oil. We're going to war because of Obama. We're going to war because of Bush. You know, it doesn't matter at this moment why we're going to war. We're there. We still need to support the troops. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts are skipping. Home, where my music's playing. Home.
Navy veteran Hondo Tamez, faculty advisor to the Student Veterans Organization at Ball State. That group is collecting toys for needy children this month. The drop boxes were set up at the Student Center in the atrium. If you need to reach them, you can find Tamez in the school directory or drop me a note and I'll put you in touch. And that is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.